So, the last Sunday in December, when next you come in this building next week, we will be in a new year. So I was thinking about that a lot, and the Lord led me to 2 Peter. So if you would, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at some different things that are listed in this chapter. I actually, this is my study Bible, so I apologize, there's all kinds of stuff in it, so if I pick it up wrong, it's all going to fall out, so I'm just going to leave it lay there. But I actually have some things listed in here, believe it or not, from September 30th, 2012. So I find that interesting. I put dates on things sometimes if they really speak to me at the moment. And then when I go back and I see them either months or sometimes years later. But you know, the word is still true. It's still valid. It doesn't matter how long ago I looked at this. It is still good for today. Amen. So starting 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. And I'm reading in the New King James. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, very important word, we'll come back to that. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking far and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, there's that word again, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, there's another important word. Since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. I know it's a bit of a long passage, but the verses I particularly want us to look at today, I wanted you to see them in context, because context is very important. Just like it talks about in here in various places where people will twist and they'll pull scripture out of context and they'll make it sound like it says something that it really doesn't say. So very important. But I want to go all the way back to the very first word in this chapter is what? Beloved. Who's he talking to? He's talking to you and I. First thing I want you to understand and grasp today is you are beloved of God. You may not feel like it. Maybe somebody hasn't said that to you in a very long time. But if you look up this word, believe it or not, in this same chapter, in some of these other verses where he's talking about Jesus Christ as the Son of the Father, it's the exact same Greek word. It's the exact same Greek word. You are beloved of God. Never forget that. Sometimes life gets hard. Sometimes things don't go the way we plan. But never forget. So there's your first point, if you want to call it that. Because I titled this A New Year, A New Start. We're almost there. Like I said, the next time we gather together in this building, we will have started the new year. But never forget that you are the beloved of God. He loves you. And for some of us, you know, we think to ourselves, well, do you really? Are you sure, God? Do you really? Because sometimes we're a little ornery. Of course, I won't look at anybody when I say that. I can be that too, just for the record. He loves us. Never forget that. But he talks about, also in that very first verse, he says, I write to you now, and I want to stir up something. That word to stir up is literally to wake up. To wake fully. To arise. To raise up. For some of you, it's like, hello, time to wake up. Because the enemy will sing you a lullaby and put you to sleep and hope that maybe you won't notice some things. So Peter, he's writing. He says, I want to stir something up in you. He starts out with beloved, very important, and it's repeated throughout this chapter. So we know who he's talking to. But he says, I want to stir something up in you. Because I don't know, maybe it's been a while too since you felt something stir when you come to church or you're talking about things of God. There should be a stirring. There should be an excitement. Not just a, oh, you know, that's nice for you, you know. No, it should be all for all of us. Amen? He goes on to talk about in verse 14, jump down a bit. He uses that word, wherefore. Because he's talking about the last days. Are we or are we not in the last days? Wake up out there. Yes. Yes. How many of us are thinking it could be any day? It could be. Not saying it is. I'm not putting a date. Don't go there. That's an error. But our job, my job, your job, is to be ready, to be looking, to be anticipating. It could be today. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. Maybe it'll be next week or next year. We don't know. Because he says he's not slack concerning his promise. Verse 9. We're on his time, not ours. Some of us would be like, Lord, today, please? Some of us probably been there. It's like, okay, I'm done down here. Let's go. I'm ready, you know. But it's not yet because we're still here. Which means then there's still something for us to do, something for us to be about. Amen? Amen. In verse 14, therefore, he said, he's talking about the last days. He's talking about the earth will be destroyed in fire and whatnot. So then he goes on, and therefore, beloved, that's you and I, looking forward to these things. That's that anticipation. By implication, you're waiting, you're looking for. Some people would use the term occupy. Occupy till I come. What do you do when you occupy something? Most of us, if you think of it, think of a house. If I am occupying my house, what am I doing? I'm living there. I'm dwelling there. This is my house. Are we doing that for our city? Our community? Our friends and neighbors? Our state? We are to occupy. We are to be about his business, looking forward to the day. But until that day, we have a job to do. Be diligent. Ooh. To be diligent. To use speed, to make effort, to be prompt, to labor, to study. These are all actions. I'm sorry if you just wanted to sit back in your comfy pew and everybody else is going to handle it and I'm just waiting for the trumpet. Sorry, that's not your job description. Not my job description either. None of us get an easy chair. Even though it sounds really good some days. He says, be diligent. We're looking forward, we're being diligent, and it says to be found by him in peace. By implication, prosperity, peace, quietness, rest, to set at one again. To set at one again. To be one with the Lord is to be at peace. See, it doesn't really have anything to do with the external, what's going on around you. It can be total chaos. But I can still be at peace. To be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. This is the exact same word. It's just interpreted two different ways. Anytime something is repeated in Scripture, especially when they're close together like that, it's emphasizing what he's saying. There's an emphasis that's intended there. Too often, and maybe I should turn around so you guys see, looked right at me when she said this, you know. No, I'm not, I promise. We make excuses for our faults and failures, and we look at everybody else, oh, they shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have been that way. They shouldn't have said that. It's not telling me to look at my brother or my sister and make sure they're without spot and blameless, does it? She took it down. I don't see that worded in there, do you? So who's he talking to? He's talking to us. Us. Can I control what somebody else does or says? No. I can pray for them. I can counsel them. I can do, because there's other places where it talks about that. It talks about mentoring and discipling and, you know, all of that. But ultimately, my responsibility is for me. Your responsibility is for you. Scripture tells us to examine who? Ourselves. Amen? To be without spot and blameless. And, doesn't stop there, it says, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. You know, we just celebrated Christmas. A time of giving and sharing gifts. What greater gift can we receive than the gift of salvation? Knowing that a God loves me so much, he calls me beloved. That a God loves me so much, he sent his son, which is what Christmas, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. Whether the world wants to acknowledge it or not, that's what it's about. It's about that little baby boy that was born, promised, knowing, I still can't wrap my mind about that some days, knowing as he grew up what was going to be required. And he did it anyway. He did it anyway. You know, sometimes things aren't as easy as, you know, we read it in Scripture, but sometimes the actual doing is not easy. In verse 18, the end of the chapter, because he's talking to us again in 17, it says, you therefore, beloved, and he's talking about, be careful that you don't fall away. That's for another day. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So here's some more verbs for you, if you will. To grow in grace and in knowledge. That word grow is what you think it would be. To enlarge or to increase. But that word grace, and it's interesting that you touched on that a little bit during the offering time. This particular word that's used here, Ah, I love this definition. Graciousness as gratifying of manner or act, abstract or concrete, literal or figurative, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Did you catch that? Let me read that part for you again. This is, there's other words, you know, different words used for grace, but this particular one especially means the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. You know, it kind of goes with what Pastor Mark talked about here, where, you know, we're supposed to decrease our natural, carnal side of ourself because he should increase. When you look at me, you should see more of him in my life than you do necessarily me. And this is what it's talking about. We need to grow. Wherever we're at in our walk, you should be growing more. Because if you stop, you become stagnant. Because you're not going forward, you're not going backward. You're just kind of there. And you know what happens to things when they, it's stagnant? Nothing is happening. Do what? They go bad. Exactly. Exactly. And knowledge is just what you would think it would be to know, to have knowledge of. One of the things I'll share just a little bit. For me this summer, on a personal note, if you will, is even though I hadn't looked at these verses in several years, God told me at the beginning of the summer something that I struggled with at first. I kind of wondered what he meant. And now I have a better idea because it kind of goes with what this is talking about. During one of my prayer times, the beginning of the summer, I heard the Lord say, you know, because I'm asking him, you know, help me to grow, work on me, this and that. And he tells me, he goes, we're going to work this summer on you, okay, and I'm going to crush you. Oh, what? Wait, this isn't, that don't sound like one of these promises I like reading in here. What do you mean? He goes, no, I'm going to crush you. And I'm like, I don't know if I like the sound of that, you know? And he's like, it's okay. It's necessary. And I'm like, are you sure? It's like, I'm still not too sure I like the sound of this. And you know what, though? I think he did. Because he showed me some things about me that I had no idea. No idea. And we had to kind of walk through some things. Because there were some things in me that, you know, the Lord kind of pulled back the veil, if you will. Sometimes we deceive ourselves. We're so good at that. And he showed me some things that were in my heart and my spirit that were ugly and mean and just downright nasty. And I'm like, bah, ooh. So we had to work on some things in me to get rid of that so I could be what these verses are talking about, without spot, blameless, looking forward to the day, but doing what I need to do, growing in grace, growing in knowledge. Another verse says, study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So he had to do some work on me. And we're still working. That was just one phase, if you will, of the process. Sometimes that's the greatest gift of all. Do you know that? Sometimes they're not all the glitzy with the bow and, you know, oh, it was just what I wanted. And you know, like for Christmas. Sometimes the greatest gift we can receive is where the Lord goes, okay, there's a spot in here we need to work on. Let's work on this together and take care of it. So then it's gone. Huh. We just touched on it, but back to verse 9, same chapter. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have a promise. That's the first thing, realize, that's mentioned in that verse. He's not slack concerning his promise. What is his promise? If I were to ask you, pop quiz time, what's the promise? He's coming back, and what's going to happen when he does? He's going to take us with him. And so shall we ever be with him. Long suffering. I don't think I really need to talk about to suffer long. I think all of us have experienced that at one point or another, especially if you're a parent. Understand that God is our Father. He understands parents. I have told a couple people some stories about my own children. I have two daughters. I love them dearly. But they definitely inherited mommy and daddy's perseverance. We'll call it nicely. When they want something and they want to do something or they don't want to do something, I'm not going to do it. Or I'm going to do it anyway, and so forth and so on. They can definitely be very strong-willed, very set in their ways. But then again, aren't we? You ever tell God no? You don't have to raise a hand. I will admit I have a time or two. And I'll just save you the trouble. Just don't even go there because you won't win. You won't win. He will keep working on you until he has his way. But he's not willing that any should perish. That all would come to repentance. So as we, you know, last Sunday of the year, getting ready to start a new year. As I look over the people here and then, you know, of course, the people online as well. There's two groups of people here. I can, according to the word, say that all are beloved because Scripture tells us that. Because he wants all to come to repentance. Some of us just simply, maybe it's been a while, we're saved. We've made a commitment. But maybe we've allowed that commitment to go, maybe get a little cold. Maybe other things have kind of, you know, taken precedence over the Lord and your relationship between you and him. Maybe there's others that, well, I've heard about God. I have head knowledge. I know about God. but I don't know God. Realize you're also in the beloved category. You know how I can say that? Our last two verses. I'll have her put those up there. John, can you guess what chapter? Chapter 3. So what does it say? It says he loved the world. So no matter which category you are, or maybe even somewhere in between, you're loved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, what we just celebrated for Christmas, that whosoever believes on him should not what? Perish. There's that word again. But will have what? Everlasting life. And then, you know, everybody stops there, but it doesn't stop there. Verse 17. You always need to put 17 with 16. Because this is why he came. Like I said, we just celebrated the baby in the manger. Why did he come? This is why he came. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. Did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So where do you find yourself in what we've talked about today? I watched, rewatched one of my favorite movies the other night called War Room, if you've seen the movie. And the older lady kind of plays a little joke to make a point to the younger gal in the story about coffee. So if I were to ask you, if you are a cup of coffee today, are you hot? Are you cold? Or are you lukewarm? Now, if you're familiar with that movie, she's asking the younger lady, the real estate lady, about her prayer life while she's in the kitchen getting the coffee. And the lady admits, I'm like most people. I wouldn't say I'm hot, but I'm not cold either. I'm somewhere in between. So she serves her this room temperature cup of coffee. Now, I don't know about you. My coffee should be piping hot. I like it almost too hot to drink. Or if I want it cold, then it's ice. Don't give me this in between. You know, if it's sat on the table for a few minutes, I went and did something and came back. It's got to be heated up. Because I don't do that in between. But see, here's the key. It, just like I was talking about, my coffee needs to be heated back up. Sometimes you and I need to be heated back up. We need to be reminded. He said to call these things into remembrance. We need to be reminded that we're loved, that we have a job to do. We're not just supposed to sit back in the easy chair. It doesn't mean what you do and I do are the same necessarily. They might look a little different. But when God says go, we should go. When God says speak, we should speak. When God says be quiet, and he does say that sometimes, be quiet. There's something in this next year for you and I to grow, to mature, to be about the Father's business. Amen. So if you funny, but it's, this is an easy way to do it. If I were a cup of coffee, am I hot? Am I cold? Or am I somewhere in between? And do I need, if I'm in that somewhere in between, I need to be heated back up. Amen. So let's close with a time of prayer. If you are someone who, well, I've had a head knowledge of God all this time, but suddenly I realize maybe I really don't know him like I thought. One of these people would be happy to pray with you, to help you get to know the one we call Lord and Savior. Amen. So, Father, we thank you. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promise, Lord. I thank you for your love. Father, I just, that the creator of the stars not only knows us by name, but calls us beloved. Just blows my mind, Lord. I thank you. I thank you that Christmas is not just a one-day thing, but that your gift is just, it's an everyday walking with you and talking with you and just enjoying your presence. I thank you for that. Lord, just touch us. Help us, Father, to be so full of you and your Spirit that people can see it. People can feel it when they're around us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't need prayer for anything, everything is good. Consider yourself dismissed and have a great rest of your day.